Cambridge International Examinations. International General Certificate of Secondary Education. June Examination Session 2004. English as a Second Language. Paper 4. Listening Comprehension. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, center number, and candidate number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the test. If you would like the tape to be louder, tell your teacher now. The tape will not be stopped while you are doing the test. Teacher, please give out the question papers. And when all the candidates are ready to start the test, please turn the tape back on. Now you are all ready, here is the test. Look at the questions for part one. There are 6 questions in this part of the exam. For each question, you will hear the situation described as it is on your exam paper. You will hear each item twice. Part 1. Questions 1 to 6. For questions 1 to 6, you will hear a series of short sentences. Answer each question on the line provided. Your answer should be as brief as possible. You will hear each item twice. Question 1. Your class is going on a trip to a local science museum tomorrow. Where must you meet, and at what time do you expect to be back?
Listen, if you're coming with us to the science museum tomorrow, then you must meet the coach here, 7 a.m. at the front gate, not at the side door. Tell your parents you will be returning by 8 in the evening. Don't forget to bring plenty of food and drink for the day. Listen, if you're coming with us to the science museum tomorrow, then you must meet the coach here, 7 a.m. at the front gate, not at the side door. Tell your parents you will be returning by 8 in the evening. Don't forget to bring plenty of food and drink for the day.
Question 2. Ismail is on a winter snow sports holiday. According to the weather forecast, which will be the best day for him to ski?
And here is the forecast for the ski resorts. Monday, severe weather warning, wet and windy. Tuesday, snow settling, becoming dry and fine. Wednesday, heavy fog. Conditions work. And here is the forecast for the ski resorts. Monday, severe weather warning, wet and windy. Tuesday, snow settling, becoming dry and fine. Wednesday, heavy fog. Conditions working.
Question 3. Yasmin and her friend are going shopping. Why does her friend suggest buying a bar of chocolate?
Oh, dear, we need a ticket to park here, and I have no change, only this note.
Don't worry, Yasmin. I'll pop across to that shop and buy a bar of chocolate with it. That'll give us the correct money.
Oh, dear, we need a ticket to park here, and I have no change, only this note.
Don't worry, Yasmin. I'll pop across to that shop and buy a bar of chocolate with it. That'll give us the correct money.
Question 4. Mateus is playing in a table tennis tournament. Which 3 things must he remember to take with him?
Right, Mateus. You've got your spare clothes, but where's your bat? And don't forget your lunch and drink. Good luck. Right, Matthias. You've got your spare clothes, but where's your bat? And don't forget your lunch and drink. Good luck.
Question 5. Jenna wants a map. How much does she pay for it?
Hello. Do you sell city maps?
Yes. This basic one is £1, but for £2.50, you get a clearer version with a larger area covered.
No, I only need the city centre, so I'll take the simple version, please.
Fine. I'll put that in a bag for you.
Hello. Do you sell city maps?
Yes. This basic one is £1, but for £2.50, you get a clearer version with a larger area covered.
No, I only need the city centre, so I'll take the simple version, please.
Fine. I'll put that in a bag for you.
Question 6. You are applying for a college course. What is the closing date for applications?
Welcome to the college information line. Term starts on the 10th of September. Entry forms must be submitted by March the 23rd, 2005, and the college open days are December the 12th and February the 1st. Welcome to the college information line. Term starts on the 10th of September. Entry forms must be submitted by March the 23rd, 2005. And the college open days are December the 12th and February the 1st.
That is the last question in part 1. In a moment, you will hear part 2. Now look at the questions for part 2, exercise 1. Part 2. Part 2, Exercise 1. Question 7. Listen to the following interview with Ruby Chandra, a young international tennis player, and then fill in the details below. You will hear the interview twice.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Choice. Last week we were talking about the importance of cricket, and next week we will be looking at football. Tonight, though, Ruby Chandra has come to talk to us about her tennis career. Ruby, welcome.
Thank you. It's always good to talk about tennis, my favourite sport, of course.
Tell us about your background.
I was born on May 10th, 1981, in Louisiana in the USA. Mm-hmm. I've lived there most of my life. I played tennis often as a child, but at 15, I became professional.
That is very young. What happened next?
I did well, and soon was one of the top women players.
In the USA, do you mean?
Well, I was once ranked 6th in the world. 3 years ago, I nearly won the Australian Open tennis tournament, you know.
How wonderful. You must have to maintain your fitness all the time.
Yes, and that is difficult. Unfortunately, I have had a few problems with my left knee. I had one operation on it, only to be told I needed another one. In the end, I had nearly 18 months off from professional tennis playing. It was very frustrating watching all the matches I should have been playing in on television.
But you have made a comeback.
I hope so. I started playing again at the beginning of this year.
So, what is your ambition now that you're fit again?
To win Wimbledon. The top competition in Great Britain, of course. I was beaten in the fourth round the last time I took part.
You hold a record, don't you?
Yes. The longest women's singles match. 3 hours and 45 minutes in 1998.
And you do a lot of charity work.
Yes. I do think it's important to give time and money to supporting sports charities.
So what would you say was your inspiration for tennis, then?
My parents. They made me believe that everyone can make a difference to the world and play a positive role in the community.
Ruby, thank you so much. More news and updates on the tennis scene on our website, www.playtennis.com.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Choice. Last week we were talking about the importance of cricket, and next week we will be looking at football. Tonight, though, Ruby Chandra has come to talk to us about her tennis career. Ruby, welcome.
Thank you. It's always good to talk about tennis, my favorite sport, of course.
Tell us about your background.
I was born on May 10th, 1981, in Louisiana in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived there most of my life. I played tennis often as a child, but at 15, I became professional.
That is very young. What happened next?
I did well, and soon was one of the top women players.
In the USA, do you mean?
Well, I was once ranked sixth in the world. 3 years ago, I nearly won the Australian Open tennis tournament, you know.
How wonderful. You must have to maintain your fitness all the time.
Yes, and that is difficult. Unfortunately, I have had a few problems with my left knee. I had one operation on it, only to be told I needed another one. In the end, I had nearly 18 months off from professional tennis playing. It was very frustrating watching all the matches I should have been playing in on television.
But you have made a comeback.
I hope so. I started playing again at the beginning of this year.
So what is your ambition now that you're fit again?
To win Wimbledon, the top competition in Great Britain, of course. I was beaten in the fourth round the last time I took part.
You hold a record, don't you?
Yes. The longest women's singles match. 3 hours and 45 minutes in 1998.
And you do a lot of charity work.
Yes, I do think it's important to give time and money to supporting sports charities.
So what would you say was your inspiration for tennis then?
My parents. They made me believe that everyone can make a difference to the world and play a positive role in the community.
Ruby, thank you so much. More news and updates on the tennis scene on our website, www.playtennis.com.
That is the end of Part 2, Exercise 1. In a moment, you will hear Part 2, Exercise 2. Now look at the questions for Exercise 2. Part 2. Exercise 2. Question 8. Listen to the following interview with the director of an international airport in India, and then complete the details below. You will hear the interview twice.
Hello, and welcome to India International Airport, where I'm talking to Mr. Lim, its director. Mr. Lim, your airport has a lovely motto. Is that the secret of your success?
Yes, indeed. Our mission is progress through excellence and customer satisfaction. So it means if we offer top-quality flights and services, our customers will keep coming back and telling others about how good we are, and therefore we will progress further. It's a kind of circle.
I hope we are also flexible enough to change with the times and adapt to the needs of our modern customers.
Has your airport always been so good?
Yes, but it was very small when it started. The airport has been here since the start of flying. Remember the Wright brothers?
Mm-hmm.
They flew a distance of 120 feet in 12 seconds in 1903 and started the whole business of aviation off. Soon, the first aircraft, the Pushmoth, had been invented. And in 1932, it landed here, the beginning of our great airport of today.
Incredible. So then the air industry expanded very fast, I should think, and your airport with it.
Yes. During wartime, the airport was only used for military purposes. But in the last 30 years, air traffic has increased so much that a new international terminal had to be built. Nowadays, 2.3 million domestic travellers are handled in our airport. That's a lot of people.
Yes, it is. But that's not all, is it?
No. There is the whole huge cargo section. We move cargo all around the world, punctually and safely. Do you know, we handle nearly 1 billion tons of cargo?
Hmm? And have you won an award for being environmentally friendly?
Yes. Our quality control and monitoring of fumes and noise emissions are very good. And we try and keep the whole site clean and pleasing to the eye.
I'm sure that passengers appreciate that.
Yes, because travel by air can be comfortable or upsetting. And a lot of that depends on which airport you leave from or arrive at, and how you, the passenger, are treated. To achieve that, we have built in extra waiting lounges with comfortable seats and coffee bars serving fresh, fragrant brews for the tired traveller.
That sounds good. You also have a flight school, I believe.
Yes, although nowadays that has developed into a small aircraft industry, whereby businesses may hire a small private plane from us, plus pilot. It's very successful and constantly in demand. We use King Air aircraft for this, and for that short time, its passengers really are kings of the air.
And you do a lot of good for your community?
Certainly. A long time ago, we formed a group of friends and family of airport personnel. They help in our community and set up projects funded by us, such as adult education, for example, or running a kindergarten. When our country is faced by natural disasters, such as floods, this group is always there, ready and willing to help.
That is very reassuring. One last question, Mr. Lim. There will soon be a rail connection to the airport, won't there?
Yes, it's under construction. And when it's completed, it'll help us to maintain our aim of excellent service to our customers.
Mr. Lim, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Hello, and welcome to India International Airport, where I'm talking to Mr. Lim, its director. Mr. Lim, your airport has a lovely motto. Is that the secret of your success?
Yes, indeed. Our mission is progress through excellence and customer satisfaction. So it means if we offer top quality flights and services, our customers will keep coming back and telling others about how good we are, and therefore we will progress further. It's a kind of circle. I hope we are also flexible enough to change with the times and adapt to the needs of our modern customers.
Has your airport always been so good?
Yes, but it was very small when it started. The airport has been here since the start of flying. Remember the Wright brothers?
Mm-hmm.
They flew a distance of 120 feet in 12 seconds in 1903, and started the whole business of aviation off. Soon, the first aircraft, the Pushmoth, had been invented. And in 1932, it landed here, the beginning of our great airport of today.
Incredible. So then the air industry expanded very fast, I should think, and your airport with it.
Yes. During wartime, the airport was only used for military purposes. But in the last 30 years, air traffic has increased so much that a new international terminal had to be built. Nowadays, 2.3 million domestic travellers are handled in our airport. That's a lot of people.
Yes, it is. But that's not all, is it?
No. There is the whole huge cargo section. We move cargo all around the world, punctually and safely. Do you know, we handle nearly 1 billion tons of cargo?
And have you won an award for being environmentally friendly?
Yes. Our quality control and monitoring of fumes and noise emissions are very good. And we try and keep the whole site clean and pleasing to the eye.
I'm sure that passengers appreciate that.
Yes, because travel by air can be comfortable or upsetting. And a lot of that depends on which airport you leave from or arrive at, and how you, the passenger, are treated. To achieve that, we have built in extra waiting lounges with comfortable seats and coffee bars serving fresh, fragrant brews for the tired traveller.
That sounds good. You also have a flight school, I believe.
Yes, although nowadays that has developed into a small aircraft industry, whereby businesses may hire a small private plane from us, plus pilot. It's very successful and constantly in demand. We use King Air aircraft for this, and for that short time, its passengers really are kings of the air.
And you do a lot of good for your community?
Certainly. A long time ago, we formed a group of friends and family of airport personnel. They help in our community and set up projects funded by us, such as adult education, for example, or running a kindergarten. When our country is faced by natural disasters, such as floods, this group is always there, ready and willing to help.
That is very reassuring. One last question, Mr. Lim. There will soon be a rail connection to the airport, won't there?
Yes, it's under construction. And when it's completed, it'll help us to maintain our aim of excellent service to our customers.
Mr. Lim, thank you very much for speaking to us. That is the end of part two. In a moment, you will hear part three. Now look at the questions for part three, exercise one. Part 3. Part 3, Exercise 1. Question 9. Listen to the following interview about boosting the immune system, and then answer the questions below. You will hear the interview twice.
Hello and welcome to Health File. Do you know people who seem to always be fit and well? They never seem to succumb to illness and so are able to cope so well with life's demands. Here is Dr. Steve Imal, who has researched all of this in many different countries and situations, to tell us how we can all achieve this.
Yes, it is all to do with the state of your immune system, which is what stops you becoming ill.
How?
Your immune system is very complex. It works using lots of different organs and tissues and is the defence against intruders, which might cause illness.
Intruders?
Yes. Germs, bacteria, anything which might make us ill. Our immune system sends out armies of white cells to kill the threatening bacteria.
That sounds easy.
It's not that easy. You have to keep to a certain lifestyle to achieve that.
You mean no caffeine, eat organic foods?
Yes, but poor diet, lack of sleep, not enough exercise, they all prevent our immune system from doing its best for our health.
Oh, dear. Anything else?
Yes. Stress and pollution both play an enormous part in the functioning of our immune system. Haven't you ever found, if you are really tired and overloaded with work with no time to eat, that you immediately catch a cold or flu?
Yes, it happens often. So, how can I become fit and well, then? What is the secret?
Eat fresh fruit and vegetables and foods that are rich in iron and vitamins, not refined or processed foods, like sugar, for example. A teaspoon of sugar reduces the response of white cells to infection by 50%. And what is worse, this effect lasts for 5 hours.
You mean eat fresh produce and basic foodstuffs, not items that have been factory processed?
Exactly. And you must make sure that you do some regular exercise each day.
Walking up the stairs to work, not the lift? Or walking from the train to the office?
Not quite, because you don't do either of those for long enough to do any good. What you need to do is to go swimming each day, or take a walk, or play tennis, perhaps. You must make time for this, as your health depends on it.
How does exercise actually help the immune system?
It makes your blood circulate faster and helps oxygen get to your body's cells more efficiently. This, in turn, makes you more resistant to viruses and infections.
Okay, I will do more exercise, but what did you mean about stress weakening our resistance to disease?
Scientific studies show us that positive attitudes and happiness boost your immune system, while being angry for 5 minutes weakens it. People with a busy social life are 4 times less likely to catch a cold.
How can that be, though?
There is a biological reason. If you are anxious, your body will send out stress hormones, which overwhelm the immune system with panic responses. So try and relax, enjoy life, and laugh more.
Thank you, Doctor, for your advice.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Hello and welcome to Health File. Do you know people who seem to always be fit and well? They never seem to succumb to illness and so are able to cope so well with life's demands. Here is Dr. Steve Imal, who has researched all of this in many different countries and situations, to tell us how we can all achieve this.
Yes, it is all to do with the state of your immune system, which is what stops you becoming ill.
How?
Your immune system is very complex. It works using lots of different organs and tissues and is the defense against intruders, which might cause illness.
Intruders?
Yes. Germs, bacteria, anything which might make us ill. Our immune system sends out armies of white cells to kill the threatening bacteria.
That sounds easy.
It's not that easy. You have to keep to a certain lifestyle to achieve that.
You mean no caffeine, eat organic foods?
Yes, but poor diet, lack of sleep, not enough exercise, they all prevent our immune system from doing its best for our health.
Oh dear. Anything else?
Yes. Stress and pollution both play an enormous part in the functioning of our immune system. Haven't you ever found, if you are really tired and overloaded with work with no time to eat, that you immediately catch a cold or flu?
Yes, it happens often. So, how can I become fit and well, then? What is the secret?
Eat fresh fruit and vegetables and foods that are rich in iron and vitamins, not refined or processed foods, like sugar, for example. A teaspoon of sugar reduces the response of white cells to infection by 50%. And what is worse, this effect lasts for 5 hours.
You mean eat fresh produce and basic foodstuffs, not items that have been factory processed.
Exactly. And you must make sure that you do some regular exercise each day.
Walking up the stairs to work, not the lift? Or walking from the train to the office?
Not quite, because you don't do either of those for long enough to do any good. What you need to do is to go swimming each day, or take a walk, or play tennis, perhaps. You must make time for this, as your health depends on it.
How does exercise actually help the immune system?
It makes your blood circulate faster and helps oxygen get to your body's cells more efficiently. This, in turn, makes you more resistant to viruses and infections.
Okay, I will do more exercise, but what did you mean about stress weakening our resistance to disease?
Scientific studies show us that positive attitudes and happiness boost your immune system, while being angry for 5 minutes weakens it. People with a busy social life are 4 times less likely to catch a cold.
How can that be, though?
There is a biological reason. If you are anxious, your body will send out stress hormones, which overwhelm the immune system with panic responses. So try and relax, enjoy life, and laugh more.
Thank you, Doctor, for your advice.
That is the end of part 3, exercise 1. In a moment, you will hear exercise 2. Now look at the questions for exercise 2. Part 3, Exercise 2, Question 10. Listen to the following talk about learning to climb mountains, and then answer the questions below. You will hear the talk twice.
Hello, I'm Tandy Smith, and today I'm going to encourage you to achieve your dreams and ambitions. As a small child, I always wanted to be able to climb mountains, and once went on a school rock climbing trip, which left me clinging terrified to a barren mountainside. I'm in my 20s now, and much braver than I was. So, determined to achieve my dream of mountain climbing, I set off for a training centre in the mountains of North Wales. The instructors put my mind at rest immediately with their positive, "you can do it" attitudes and helpful words of encouragement. So much so that on the first training session, I was 30 metres up a rock face and actually felt relaxed enough to stop and admire the view. I must add that my instructor, Danielle, was right there adjusting my harness and tightening up ropes all the time so that I felt safe. Without all these safety details, I'm sure I would have fallen off lots of times. The more I climbed, the greater my confidence became. Other instructors were shouting encouragement from above and below me, and they told me where my next foothold was and where to put my trembling fingers for the safest climb. Of course, another advantage is that the air is so pure up a mountain, unlike the inner city air where I live, it feels so healthy and worthwhile. I reached the top of my first climb, and then going down was so easy. I abseiled. That means you jump off backwards using the ropes and walk back down to the ground. Actually, it's not as easy as it sounds. I can understand why professional mountain climbers are so passionate about their sport and why they go on and on accepting more increasingly difficult challenges. Climbing is not just about being physically fit. You also have to be quick thinking and fast to react to unforeseen situations. You have to think about every move you make. You have a wonderful sense of achievement when you're safely back on the ground, having conquered your personal Everest, no matter how high or low it might be.
I would really encourage you to try mountain climbing and to learn this skill at a climbing centre with proper instructors. Climbing centres have plenty of graded climbs for beginners onwards. You never know, you could even become a trainer yourself one day and teach others how to climb with pleasure and safety.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Hello, I'm Tandy Smith, and today I'm going to encourage you to achieve your dreams and ambitions. As a small child, I always wanted to be able to climb mountains, and once went on a school rock climbing trip, which left me clinging terrified to a barren mountainside. I'm in my 20s now, and much braver than I was. So, determined to achieve my dream of mountain climbing, I set off for a training centre in the mountains of North Wales. The instructors put my mind at rest immediately with their positive, "you can do it" attitudes and helpful words of encouragement. So much so that on the first training session, I was 30 metres up a rock face and actually felt relaxed enough to stop and admire the view. I must add that my instructor, Danielle, was right there adjusting my harness and tightening up ropes all the time so that I felt safe. Without all these safety details, I'm sure I would have fallen off lots of times. The more I climbed, the greater my confidence became. Other instructors were shouting encouragement from above and below me, and they told me where my next foothold was and where to put my trembling fingers for the safest climb. Of course, another advantage is that the air is so pure up a mountain, unlike the inner city air where I live, it feels so healthy and worthwhile. I reached the top of my first climb, and then going down was so easy. I abseiled. That means you jump off backwards using the ropes and walk back down to the ground. Actually, it's not as easy as it sounds. I can understand why professional mountain climbers are so passionate about their sport and why they go on and on accepting more increasingly difficult challenges. Climbing is not just about being physically fit. You also have to be quick thinking and fast to react to unforeseen situations. You have to think about every move you make. You have a wonderful sense of achievement when you're safely back on the ground, having conquered your personal Everest, no matter how high or low it might be. I would really encourage you to try mountain climbing and to learn this skill at a climbing centre with proper instructors. Climbing centres have plenty of graded climbs for beginners onwards. You never know, you could even become a trainer yourself one day and teach others how to climb with pleasure and safety.
That is the end of part 3 and of the test. In a moment, your teacher will stop the tape and collect your papers. Please check that you have written your name, centre number and candidate number on the front of your question paper. Remember, you must not talk until all the papers have been collected. Teacher, the tape should now be stopped and all the papers collected. Thank you, everyone.